Hello and welcome. You are listening to For the Love of Dog, a podcast related to all things dog, just in case the title wasn't clear enough. I'm Kerry Jordan, a professional dog photographer, whippet enthusiast, and a serial dog cuddler. Okay, so this is third time lucky because the previous episodes didn't save, which is amazing. It's probably for the best though, because I ended up in tears on the first recordings and nobody could probably understand what I was saying. So let's try again. I was really struggling to figure out what to do on this last episode, and I asked one of my business groups, and somebody who is a brilliant entrepreneur said I should tell my story. Not entirely sure if this is the story that he meant, but here we go. Most of all, I hope the message will come across that no matter what life throws at you, by putting one foot in front of the other, you can create a different path for yourself. I was born in Aberdeen, but grew up in a fairly rough area of Manchester. As you can hear, I've lost most of my accent, but people down here in Sussex and Surrey know that I'm not from round here because I still say things like grass and bath. I didn't have the easiest of lives, which led me to not being the easiest of children to bring up. Something happened when I was younger, which haunted me for quite a long time, and I'm certain some of it, the playing up that I did, was down to this. I never actually lived in the same place for more than 2 years, moving between either my mum and dad or other family members. I had a pretty strained relationship with my mum, which I won't go into, as I'm hoping that one day I can be in a better place with her. When I was around 15, I vividly remember watching a group of people in suits walking across the little green to our council house. I was living with my dad and his third wife at the time, and her two daughters and my brothers and sister, all a fair few younger than me. Those people, it turned out, had come to arrest my dad. My dad's wife, Karen, broke down, so the responsibility to comfort the kids was up to me. This was the start of many years of trying to be responsible. It turned out my kind but strict dad, who had a wicked sense of humour, who once built a slide for us in the front garden, had actually smuggled drugs into the country. Apparently it was one of the biggest hauls of the time. It was his very first offence, and yet he got 14 years, meaning that I was without a dad. My brothers and sister went to live with my mum, and I went to live with my aunt for a little while, and then my older stepsister. I'm pretty sure I was awful. I can remember the angst and the anger that I used to feel. I wasn't in charge of my emotions at all. The fact that I was a teenager probably didn't help. And that's probably why at the age of 16, I was in a women's hostel while I was doing my GCSEs. School was actually a place of retreat for me. The teachers were great and I loved learning. I was in my element in some of the more creative classes like art and music, but I also had a real love for English literature. Obviously, I didn't get great grades. I knew I could have done better, but at this time I was also on Prozac. And having no fixed home meant that I was actually classed as homeless. Was it hard? Yes, but the hostel and the women in it really looked after me. After my GCSEs, the hostel managed to find me a council flat on the outskirts of Manchester, where I tried to put myself through college studying, of all things, law and psychology. But I just couldn't afford it while I was living on social security, so I applied for my first ever office job. Growing up, I wanted to be a fashion designer, a vet, or an illustrator. But I guess like so many people, I fell into something that was just necessary. I managed to see my dad a few times while he was in prison. And although we weren't on bad terms, we weren't really close. After he was released, he had to have a heart bypass. And when I went to visit, for the first time in probably over a decade, my past came back to haunt me. I'm pretty sure what happened next was that I had a panic attack. I couldn't breathe, and then I was breathing too quickly. I'm so glad that I had Alex, my now husband, with me. After that, I only saw Dad a couple of times until the fateful day that one of my cousins, who I'd hardly have any contact with, managed to track me down to say that my dad was in a really bad way. I managed to visit him the very next day to find an almost literal skeleton. he had throat cancer and he didn't have long left. I chatted to him in what I hoped was an upbeat way and said that I'd come to visit the next day, but I never got the chance. He passed away before I could get there. I was devastated. As I said, we weren't close, but I still loved him. After that, I carried on working in office jobs. I was consistently getting bored or frustrated and moving on to the next one within a couple of years before meeting my now husband, Alex, and moving to London, where the pattern continued. And although I worked my way up to be a high-paying PA to CEOs, I knew that deep down office work just wasn't for me. If you've listened to episode one, it tells you a brief story of how I finally discovered photography. And since then, my life has dramatically changed. My dogs have honestly kept me sane. They have taught me more patience than I ever knew that I had. And when we adopted Jasper, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, we moved to the countryside to get a place with more space, which at the time I thought was a big mistake. I loved living in suburbia with everything on my doorstep. Now I realise it was the best thing that we could have done. Being closer to nature has given me a sense of peace that I never realised I was missing. Most people who know me know I'm a pretty positive person and I try and see the best in any situation, but it's taken me a long time to get to this place. In the past few years, learning to practice gratitude every single day and meditation has helped me so much, as well as the patience of my husband. I've put him through a lot. I still have days where I really struggle, but having dogs that depend on me gets me up and out. I'm a firm believer that just being out in nature is a huge help to anybody who has mental struggles. So there's the abridged and thankfully not as teary version of my story. It's always nerve-wracking opening up, but I hope you found it interesting. And at best, I really hope it inspires somebody to believe that you can change your future regardless of your past. Thanks so much for listening. Just an added little extra bit before I sign off. Any ruing and barking you can hear in the background of this recording is Shadow being demanding, probably trying to get into one of the other dog's beds that he wants for himself. And there he goes again.